Recorded live.
Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you right now, God, for your word. We bless you, God. We thank you for all that's already been said and done. Now, Father, we thank you right now for taking authority over the airwaves tonight, God. We curse every spirit, God, that will fight against the word, everything, Lord God, that will cause us to stumble over the word, God. We decree tonight, God, that your word shall have free course, oh God, over this internet and over the phone lines, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for the spirit of understanding. God, for your word declares that with all our getting, we should get understanding. Lord, we lose the spirit of understanding in our midst right now. In the name of Jesus, we thank you that your word is already anointed. Now, God, I ask you, Lord God, that you would anoint me, God. Cover me with your blood. Hide me behind the cross. Let your word come forth, oh God, with power and authority. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise and honor. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. All right, this week we are picking up where we left off from last week. And we are talking about the Apostolic Church. And for those who missed the recording on last week and don't really have an idea of what the Apostolic Church is, we were talking about doing this, you know, ministry of the prophetic or whatever, and we know that when Jesus led captivity captive and he gave gifts to men, that there is a model that he left in the scripture, and we find that model in Ephesians 4, and then we also find that model in, you know, throughout the entire book of Acts. And the apostolic church, when we talk about that, is basically the church that follows the doctrine, the teachings of the apostle, the church that continues to follow in the things that Jesus left, the precepts that he left for the body of Christ. We have different, you know, terms that we use. We call them apostolic houses, you know, apostolic ministry, apostolic churches, or whatever. It doesn't necessarily, it's not, we're not looking at a denominational factor, because it's not anything denominational. The whole idea behind apostolic ministry is the ministry that follows the precepts that the apostles taught and the model that Jesus left. Okay, and when you speak of an apostolic house or an apostolic church, you're basically saying that this is a ministry that follows the totality of the New Testament dispensation, all that has been given to us through Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, all that we see in the book of Acts. We embrace that. We embrace that ministry. We embrace those teachings, and this is what we mean when we say an apostolic church. All right. Now, this week we're picking up on the distinctive characteristics of the apostolic church, and we talked about several things on last week. We talked about the fact that the apostolic church, the ministry of the apostle, is going to be prevalent, is present in the church, that it is a model to be followed, that the book of Acts is our pattern, that the apostolic church is a ministry that is abnormal. It's abnormal because it's not what we are accustomed to. It's not what is expected of, you know, the churches when we look at guidelines that have been set down by organizational structures. That the apostolic church is always advancing, it's always accelerated, it's always audacious, and it's definitely something that is moving forward in the things of God. And whenever we have a church that has stopped progressing, then we have, you know, we have a problem there, because that means that the people of God are not going to be learning, that there's not going to be any spiritual growth, and that is what we need to be able to see in the body of Christ. We need to be able to see growth, and that is the purpose of these gifts being in operation. So that brings us to this week, and we're going to be talking about the fact that the apostolic church is adjudicated, which means basically that when you have a true apostolic ministry, it, you know, first of all, this word to adjudicate means to sit in judgment, to pronounce or to decree by judicial sentence. It is to judge. It is to hear and to settle disputes, to put on trial and to hear as a judge, to bring to an end or to settle controversies. And when we look in the book of Acts, we see that the apostolic apostles' council that was in Jerusalem had to settle disputes. That was part of what their responsibility was as a body, and as those leaders being in the body, they had a responsibility to make sure that the church understood what they were responsible for. The church had to you know, answer to them, and the apostles were the ones who were to set whatever the precedence was and the things that should take place in the churches. The apostles were the ones who took care of those matters. So one of the things that God is truly concerned about is a righteous judgment. And, you know, you cannot really be a apostolic ministry and you're not concerned with righteous judgment. And that pertains to matters in life as well as matters in the church. It relates to the lost. It relates to people who have been disenfranchised. And you'll find that as you look at missions and different things like that, when you start talking about ministry and foreign missions and even local missions, that an apostolic ministry is going to be concerned about justice. And that's really simply put. You know, we need to be concerned about more than just us four and no more. This ministry has to be concerned about feeding the poor and meeting the needs of the needy, those that are lost, those who have been mistreated and disenfranchised by society. And the gospel, when we preach the gospel is supposed to minister to the whole man. Jesus came not just to save our souls, but he also came to bring deliverance to the captives. And there are people who are captive mentally, emotionally, socially, and the gospel can address every one of these areas, but we have to be educated, so to speak. We need to have that, you know, have a spiritual education to understand how to bring deliverance to the captives, because every deliverance is not going to take place through us just saying, "Satan, come out in the name of Jesus." Some things are not demonic oppression, you know, or I should say possession. Some things are oppression. And so when people have been oppressed, there is a need for the ministry to adjudicate on their behalf, to settle disputes, to sit and act as judge, and to pronounce or make decrees on their behalf. And so we have to, you know, because we kind of, you know, feel leery about whether or not we should, you know, be involved in, you know, social issues. We kind of, you know, are leery of that. And I'm not telling you to leave your first calling. I'm not telling you that, you know, now God is calling you to public office and you got to run for some public office. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying to you is that even the prophets were concerned about what was going on in the society at the time. So we cannot just be concerned with whatever's happening in the church, but we got to be concerned with whatever is going on even in the spirit realm. Amen? So this is what that apostolic church does. Apostolic leaders will have a heart of the Father and understand in all humility that they are responsible before God for those in the sphere of their care. They will have divine discernment to judge. They will not judge for the sake of harm, but to bring correction coupled with mercy to restore and bring to maturity. The apostles with pure heart were not fearful to bring righteous judgment. And that is what is missing, righteous judgment. When we're looking at, let's look at John chapter 7, and we're going to look at verse 24. It's a short verse, but it says plenty. And this is Jesus speaking, and he says, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." And this is not a suggestion. He's not saying maybe you should do this. This is Jesus commanding the people, telling them this is what is required of you. Okay? So we need to understand as a body of believers, it's not all about us just doing a work in the church, but apostolic ministry is thinking globally. It is thinking about having an impact globally. What is it that I can do with this gospel that I have that has been committed to me that I can begin to share with somebody else that's going to bring liberty to their lives? Amen. And so these are things that we need to think about when we start talking about apostolic ministry. Okay? God's order was being established in the early church through the leadership and the authority of the apostles. And so shall it shall be again as the apostles and the prophets come forth for the establishment of God's government in the earth and in the church. And so this is why it's important to see this spirit, you know, of adjudicating in the house of God and in the midst of the apostolic church. Because when we see this, then we know of a certainty that the kingdom of God is in our midst. And there's no way for us to know that the kingdom of God is truly in our midst except we see it's not just signs and wonders, but it's when we begin to see righteous judgment. Amen. When we begin to see leaders who have integrity, who will deal with issues, who will deal with disputes in the church, who will deal with disputes that have taken place in society, you know, and will deal with people who, you know, have been cast down, have been cast aside, and they have a concern for them, a genuine concern. This is how, this is one of the signs that the kingdom of God is in the midst of us. Okay, so according to scripture, the apostles judged men's motives, men's actions, and you see the scriptures, Acts 8, Acts 5. They judged doctrine, they judged sin, and they judged church practices. And even as you read in the book of Acts, you'll see how Paul had encountered some of the philosophers of that day and began to deal with them according to what they were teaching. He had to confront the fact that they were teaching heresy in the world, you know, that which was in Greece and in Rome. They were teaching heresy, and Paul had to come against that. He had to deal with these leaders head on because this teaching was causing people to err from the truth. And so as believers, we need to be able to stand against unrighteousness and know that our calling is not just in the pulpit. Our calling is not just, amen, you know, to have an itinerant ministry. Our calling is not just for us as an apostolic people to just wait, you know, and go from conference to conference and from service to service and you know, be working, you know, the circuit. That's not the whole thing. There is a whole society that is needing to hear, amen, a voice of truth and a voice of righteousness. And even as we read in Romans, it tells that the whole creation is groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The world is waiting. Why do you think the world is waiting? They're not just waiting because they need to be saved. They're not just waiting because of the fact that, you know, they're hungry for some kind of, you know, spiritual change, but there are natural circumstances that need to be addressed. And if we as a church do not address these issues, we cannot truly say that we are part of the kingdom of God. Because when the new kingdom comes in, that kingdom has dominion over every sphere. When you talk about a kingdom, we're not talking about just God having dominion over our lives. But when Jesus came and he proclaimed that the kingdom of God has come unto them, he was explaining to them that this is a whole new regime coming in. That means kingdom is dealing with, you know, my health, my safety, my wellness. Kingdom is dealing with, you know, provision. Kingdom is dealing with salvation, and kingdom is dealing with warfare and protection. And protecting the people of God and those who belong to that kingdom. And so we need to embrace that, and we need to deal with those issues. So if you have not allowed yourself to entertain the fact that God has called you to do more than just preach, then you need to begin to think about that and even begin to pray and ask God, you know, what is it that you have called me to do so that I can bring change to the society that I live in? What is it that I can do now that I can allow this ministry that is in me to bring righteous judgment in the earth? That is the will of God. And then also, let's look at Proverbs 11:1. And although this particular verse is talking about, you know, in a sense, money issues, this is not the only application, okay? Proverbs 11:1. All right, and it says, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. And so that's not just financially speaking, but also when you talk about lying and cheating, hooking and crooking, God is not pleased with that. Even as it relates to, you know, mistreating people and scheming, you know, and not righteously bringing a balance or doing things with integrity. This is what this scripture also means. All right, moving on to chapter 9. The apostolic church is accountable and affiliated. When we talk about accountability, we're talking about that which can be explained, or being responsible. Okay, you know, the apostolic church is not just about one person. You're not going to have a bunch of fly-by-nights who are isolated from society. I want to talk about the church, really. You know, you're not connected to nobody. You know, nobody don't know where you came from. Nobody don't know where you're going. You know what I'm saying? You know, nobody knows anything about you. You have nobody that you answer to. And with the apostolic church, there is, that's one of the characteristics, that you're not trying to just be off by yourself, but you're concerned about unity and connectedness. All right, and then also being affiliated. That means to associate as a member, which means I don't have to come and join your church to be a member, because we are members of the body of Christ. So us as a member, as members of the body of Christ, we should be able to, you know, to flow freely with one another. We should be able to impart to one another, and it shouldn't be, you know, no intimidation. We shouldn't be, you know, trying to figure out, okay, well, what's your ulterior motive? What is it really that you have, that you're really after? Because we are accountable and we are affiliate, meaning there is an undeniable characteristic that in the apostolic church, there's going to be accountability one to another. Anytime you have people that are calling themselves apostles and prophets or whatever, and they don't have anybody that they answer to, they don't have anybody that's pouring back into them, there's nobody calling them on the carpet, then we need to start talking about whether or not they are truly walking in what they have called themselves to. Because everybody needs to be able to have somebody that they can, you know, that can pour back into them and that can cause them to be accountable. Accountability is important. And so where the love of Christ reigns, there's no shame amongst brethren, no intimidation. I cannot overemphasize that point. There is no intimidation and no fear of rejection, but a closeness and confidence based on the word of God. We're not fighting for position. I'm not worried about the fact that if I do something, you know, or if I share my heart, you're going to go blab it all over the place. You know what I'm saying? Or I don't have to worry about being rejected because you thought I was doing this and I was really doing that. You know what I'm saying? It shouldn't be like that. I should be able to come to anybody on this line tonight and say to you, listen, I'm going through X, Y, and Z, or I did this and that was wrong, and so I need you to pray for me. This is what we're supposed to be able to do. And because of accountability and because of being affiliated, being connected, we should be able to bring deliverance to one another. If one of you were to come to me and say anything, you know, and you needed to be, it needed to be kept in privacy or it needed to be kept in confidence, I should be able to do that without rejecting you, without coming against you or trying to make you feel shame. Now, if you sin, you know, God is the one who brings the conviction. Amen. But what I'm saying is there needs to be a safe haven. And when leaders don't feel like they have a safe haven, this is why we see all this debacle taking place on television with these leaders, because they don't have a safe haven. And they need a place where they can go to where somebody can say, listen, you're missing it. Listen, you're getting off course. Listen, that ain't God. You need to sit down and be quiet. Amen. And I just said that to Prophetess Sherry the other day. I said, I don't care if you hear me saying something crazy, you better come and tell me. You better tell me to sit down. You better tell me something ain't off. You better tell me I need to close some of them other books I'm reading or something. Amen. Because this is what is necessary for us to flow in the things of God. There are no big eyes and little U's. It's no such thing as I'm way up here on this pinnacle and you down here underneath my feet. I don't care if you have 50 churches under you. You need to have somebody that you are accountable to. It is important for your integrity as a leader and as a part of the body of Christ, that you be affiliated, that you associate with somebody, and that somebody can call you on the carpet. That is part of a healthy church, a healthy fellowship. Amen. So where leaders have been separated, or they separate themselves to their own denominations and organizations, we're going to begin to see a hunger for relationships of people with like hearts and like passions, because they are embracing the spirit of the apostolic. Okay, a divine uniting by God will be established in local churches and leaders around the world, networking for the fulfilling of God's purpose. God is not concerned about our denomination. He is not concerned about, you know, what organization we are a part of. The only thing he is concerned of, he's concerned about, is whether or not we are walking in unity, so that the will of God and the plans, the purposes, and the desires of God are brought to pass in the earth. And this is what our associations should bring. Those of you who have been, you know, through this class, and we're coming up on the end of this class, there should be some fruit. You should have not just learned something, but you should be applying what you have learned. You know, and these, the things that you have learned, should be challenging you to begin to apply yourself to the knowledge that you have received. You should desire to be accountable. You should desire to be affiliated. You should desire the things that we have been teaching about, so that you can begin to walk in the plans, the purposes, and the desires of God. Because that's what this is all about. It's about bringing God's will to pass in the earth. Accountability entails many aspects, such as one's actions, obeying the word of God, and financial commitment. You know, that's a big issue. We have ministries today that are being audited by the IRS because of their extravagant lifestyles. And if we really had people that were being accountable to one another, when we begin to see, you know, these other people, you know, getting these extravagant things, those who are close to them should have a responsibility to say, hey, you know, you're spending too much money on that. Hey, you know what? You need to really think about what you're doing, because, you know, is God pleased with this purchase that you're making? These are the things that we need to consider, because, you know, as God elevates us and he takes us higher, there are things that, you know, temptations that you're going to face that you would not have faced before, because it wasn't an issue then. You know, even Jesus, he talked about those who are rich, they're going to fall into many diverse temptations. And it's because, you know, when you have a lot of money, there's things that you could buy that you couldn't buy when you didn't have a lot of money. So now those things become a temptation. And then there's also the temptation to feel as though, well, you know, I made it. I got all my needs met. There's no reason for me to really go into prayer. You know, and so this is why accountability is important. We need to call each other on the carpet concerning our actions, concerning our commitments, concerning whether or not we are walking in obedience to the word of God. This is so very important. And it doesn't mean that we're trying to badger one another or try to tell each other, well, you know, you really just need to get delivered, or you really need this, or you need that. But it's because we love one another. It's about love. Okay, and that's the key factor here. Where the love of Christ is reigning, these things are going to be in operation. And if they're not in operation, we need to begin to, you know, to pray that they get in line and begin to manifest. All right, or we need to be the ones that begin to operate in these things, because, you know, then we can be a light to others. All right, chapter 10, the apostolic church is accurate, alert, and awake. That's self-explanatory. We're not off in the left field, okay? We're not following, you know, lying spirits. There is a spirit of truth that reigns in the apostolic church, okay? The apostolic church is one that has risen out of complacency and will be militant, alert, discerning of the times, undistracted by surroundings. Lord Jesus, let's talk about that. That's what he was praying about tonight. Lord, keep us from distraction, because distraction is an awful thing. Distraction can kill our destiny that God has predetermined for us. And we don't want to be distracted. We need to be able to discern the times. And I can't even overemphasize that, because sometimes we don't even pay attention to what's going on around us. All right, Matthew 16, 1 through 3. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came tempted, and tempting desired him that he should show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. And I believe that in the earlier lesson, we talked about the sons of Issachar. And having that anointing, the sons of Issachar were able to discern the times. We need to be able to discern the times. We need to be able to know what's going on before it comes. We don't need to catch what's going on in the world just through CNN. Amen. That shouldn't be our source of information. That's the world's source. But we, the people of God, because we are connected to God and because we are the manifestation of the kingdom of God in this earth, we are the ones who are heralding the things that are to come to pass, and we should be bringing forth the word of God with accuracy. And we should be sounding the alarm to awaken those who have fallen asleep. Amen. First Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32 talks about the sons of Issachar. We need to have that same spirit. And it says, and of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Let me tell you something. The world is getting ready to come to the church to ask us, what is it that we should be doing? And if you have not been in the face of God, what kind of answer are you going to give? You can't give no answer if you haven't been with God. And so it is important for us that we be able. This is part of what this end time church should be doing. Amen. The apostolic church is undistracted by surroundings and circumstances, and they are prayer warriors. Amen. You don't have to be a prophet to have a shamar anointing. Amen. We know that shamar means to cover. You don't have to be a prophet to shamar. Amen. We need that anointing to protect, that anointing that intercedes, that anointing that covers. Amen. We should all have, amen, a ministry of intercession that covers and protects and wars on the behalf of the people of God. This church will demonstrate God's power in the natural realm. Precision and laser-like accuracy will be exemplified in the apostles and prophets, and no deviation of doctrine will be permitted. They preach in truth, not heresy, not foolishness, but truth. Amen. But will be exposed. Let me go back. And no deviation of doctrine will be permitted, but will be exposed as error and judged accordingly. Amen. Righteous judgment. All right, chapter 11, the apostolic church is arbitrating and affectionate. When we start talking about something or someone who is an arbitrator, that means that, first of all, somebody has submitted to them, to their council, to make a decision or to settle differences. Okay? Arbitrators examine facts, and they make decisions upon issues. This is what we need. But if we're fighting against each other, we're not going to come to each other for no answers, to no questions, or to settle no disputes. We shouldn't be taking each other to court. We need this apostolic mantle restored so that the apostles can judge righteous judgment between the saints if there's some kind of dispute. This is why we began to go back to the world and begin to sue each other, because this mantle is missing. We need this mantle back in the church. Amen. The apostolic church is affectionate. It's not afraid to show love, not afraid to show its affection one toward another. The apostolic church will live based on kingdom principles, God's system of operating, not the world system. They have no desire to function according to the systems of the world, but will look to the wisdom of godly counsel. Let's look at Proverbs 11 and 14. Godly counsel is indispensable when you can really truly find some godly counsel. Amen. Proverbs 11 and 14. It says, where no counsel is, the people fail, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. We are seeing people shipwreck every day spiritually because there's no counsel. We need this spirit restored. We need to be praying for this. Apostles are arising whom God will use in wisdom and discernment to reconcile divisions in the church. Thank you, Jesus. We need to see it. And they will be able to penetrate to the secular realm, be able to get out here in this culture and begin to counter all that has gone forth that is ungodly. Because I'll say it again, and I have said it before, and this has just been my mantra this year, amen, and that is that Christianity is not a subculture. Christianity is a counterculture. Christianity is supposed to come against unrighteousness, ungodly doctrines, you know, heresies, amen, bondages. We are supposed to come with a gospel that heals the whole man. Heals the whole man. That's what the gospel of Jesus Christ does. All we have to do is look back at our life and see what a shamble we were living in. Some of us were mentally crazy. Some of us, amen, needed medication. Amen. Some of us, praise God, didn't have wholeness, you know, in our bodies before we got saved. Some of us didn't even know how to function, you know, in the world like we should. And after we got saved, it seemed like the Lord just gave us some good sense. Amen. It helped us be able to understand how to operate in life. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is not just to come, you know, come to us for us to speak in tongues and lay hands on each other. Amen. So the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us into all truth. Amen. And sometimes we need direction concerning natural matters. Sometimes we need direction. And so when we need that, amen, that's what the Spirit of God is for. All right, and so, and then this, the Apostolic Church will also be called on for counsel, direction, and instruction. We should be able to do that. The world should be coming to us, asking us questions. The peace of Jesus Christ will be sought in all situations and pursued. That is our desire. All right, the apostle bears the Father's heart for his children, and therefore will release a genuine affection. Apostolic churches will have a family atmosphere with concern and care for one another. That's the way it should be. When you go to church, you know, it shouldn't be big I's and little U's. You know what I'm saying? And I believe that, you know, some of the churches who have done some of the cell groups and things like that, has the purpose of that was supposed to be so that if the congregation is too large, that they will be able to have somebody that they can touch and somebody that can touch them. And so that there's still some form of familial association. And so we don't feel like we're just coming into this place and we all just get lost in this place. But there should be some form of family. And for a lot of us, and I say us because I include myself in this, a lot of us, when we come to the church has been more family to us than we have had, you know, really with our natural family. So when you have that, you know, that's why these things have to be in order, because you will be ministering to people, you know, on so many different levels, not just spiritually but naturally, helping them through changes and situations. And for some people who have, you know, no closeness in their family, they look to their church for that type of support. So we need to be open to that. Okay? Chapter 12. Addicted, alcoholic, absorbent, and adhesive. And I want to deal with this because I know some of y'all going to say, alcoholic, what in the world? We're going to get to that. All right, the apostolic spirit will cause believers to become addicted to the ministry of the saints. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 16 and 15. We're going to deal with the alcoholic thing so that you understand where we're coming from. 1 Corinthians 16. All right, I got to find it. My pages are together here. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15. And it reads, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And that's hard to find today, people who have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, which means that this is a place, you know, where the people live in self-denial. We're not consumed with just me. Amen, but we are concerned with one another. The only way that the church is going to be addicted to the ministry of the saints is that flesh has got to die. And whenever we say anything about the flesh dying, we all cringe because, like, oh my God, what does that mean? I got to go through what? So it's important for us that we not allow ourselves to be moved, but that we stand firm and learn to be addicted to ministry and ministering to somebody else other than ourselves. Okay? The Apostolic Church will demonstrate the love of God in service, or the love of Christ in serving. That is our first call, is to serve one another. It's not about us getting our name in lights. It's not about us, you know, being grand and wonderful. It's about us serving one another. When you read in Ephesians 4 and you see that these gifts that Christ gave, they all came. God gave these gifts to the church for the simple reason that he wanted to see his church edified. He wanted to see his church be able to be matured and perfected. And the only way that that's going to happen is we got to serve one another. Not serve ourselves, but serve one another. All right? The Apostolic Church will be embracing the liberty of the Spirit. The Apostolic Church has abandoned itself to the will of the Father. And this is something good because, you know, we were talking about this a few minutes ago about the prayer requests when Prophetess Sherry was praying, and she was saying about, you know, God give us liberty. And it's so important that, you know, in the church that you have liberty, because you're going to have that in order to be able to operate in God. We cannot operate in God if we're trying to keep each other tied, you know, to the pew. Amen. You got to have liberty to be able to exercise. Now, if you're not walking upright and you're not doing the things that God has commanded you to do, and you're not living holy, you don't have a prayer life, you ain't reading your Bible, then, hey, you have disqualified yourself, and you need to get that part of your life together so that you can, amen, be able to be used by God. But first and foremost, there should be some liberty in the house of God so that the people's needs can be met. I want to talk about this spirit when we talk about alcoholic. When this particular word is used, it's not talking about being inebriated. It's not talking about, you know, drugs, you know, in that sense. But it's speaking of the act of preserving truth, to retain. You know, part of the problem is that the church over time has lost its true meaning. You know, the apostolic ministry, which we see now is being restored to the place that Christ had initially placed it. Now is the time for us to begin to preserve what God has given us, to retain our fervor, to retain the true essence of what he has created us to do. And this is what we mean when we're saying that the apostolic church is alcoholic. And I guess I should have just used a different word, but that's what that means. And even if you looked it up, that's what that means. Not just, you know, alcoholic, like as in the sense of alcohol, you know, but in the sense of preserving. In the sense of preserving truth and to retain its value. Alcohol is used to preserve. And so this is what the apostolic church has to begin to preserve: the truths that have been committed to the church, and to begin to share those truths with the body of Christ. It is important that we do that. The hunger for more of God and all that he has provided in Christ, and have relinquished all pride and dignity for a touch of the Master's hand. Lord Jesus, we need to really abandon ourselves in this matter. Designed to be consumed by whatever the Spirit wants to do, not our own agenda, but God's agenda. And that's what we need to be able to embrace, God's agenda. Okay? The Apostolic Church will radiate the love of Christ, and all who are touched will be drawn, wanting more and more, being refilled and overflowed. When is the last time, you know, somebody has even visited, you know, the church, or has, you know, you ministered to them, and it just seemed like they were just so drawn to the Spirit of God? And it seems like nowadays people are running from the church, and folks are chasing people away from the church because we're not walking in love, because there is no affection in the house of God. And so we need to get that stuff back. There is a revival that's necessary. And when I say revival, I don't mean shouting and dancing and speaking in tongues. I mean revival in the sense that, you know, the things that Christ delivered to the church be restored, that we come back to our first love. That's the kind of revival I'm talking about. I'm talking about will we pray and do so without ceasing? Will we get in the Word and stay in the Word? Will we not allow ourselves to be moved by circumstances and situations because our love for God is so much deeper than what we are facing? That's the kind of revival that I'm talking about. And we need to see this kind of thing in the house of God. And we got to get hungry for it. We got to begin to cry out to God for it. And we got to get to the place where we don't accept anything less than that. Amen. That's what we need. Amen. Chapter 13, affirming and appreciative. The apostolic prophetic spirit imparts a fatherly spirit and to pastors and leaders, which will in turn bring forth a desire to recognize their people, their works of love, and their service, validating them. And we're going to talk about that for a moment. A true leader builds people up with respect and appreciation, giving honor where honor is due. Let us look at Romans chapter 13. Let's look at that briefly. Romans chapter 13. And verse 7. And it says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Amen. And it's so important that we do that. And I want to say something about that particular verse. You know, we always use that verse as it relates to our pastors. And, you know, I thank God for that, you know, and I'm a pastor. But I want to say that that's not the only way that, you know, that verse needs to be looked at. We need to look at the brother who sits next to us in church, the sister who sits next to us in church, and learn how to honor them. You know, and the reality is that just like we have pastors' anniversaries, one thing I haven't seen is the anniversary that honors the church members for being there. And I think that that is important. I think that we need to honor the saints for coming to church as well as honoring the leaders who are serving the church. If there were no folks coming to church, you wouldn't have church. So, you know, we need to learn how to affirm them, not just the leaders, but show people appreciation for their works of love. True apostolic ministry is not just concerned about itself, but it shows appreciation to others for the work that they do. And what happens when you have people who are working hard and are doing like what we read in 1 Corinthians 16 and 15 about being addicted to the ministry of the saints. If you have people who are addicted to the ministry of the saints and they don't ever receive any appreciation or any gratitude, this is how people get bitter. This is how, you know, people get to the place where they don't want to do anything in the church because they haven't been shown appreciation. And so, you know, this ministry that Christ left, amen, is balanced. Remember we talked about that just balance, a true balance. Having, you know, righteous judgment. Righteous judgment means I don't just thank God for the pastor, but I thank God for the saints of God who come in and make the church what it is. So we have to show appreciation for the saints of God, for their service. Let's learn how to validate other people, which brings us to that affirming ministry. To affirm means to state positively, to support, to uphold, to validate and confirm, to declare solemnly as true. It's almost as if you are swearing something. You know, you swear it. When you don't want to swear, the next thing down from swearing in court is an affirmation. Okay? Because it's just as good as if you had sworn. It is a solemn statement. It's like saying something is legally true. Okay? And so what we have to learn how to do is when we know that people are called to certain ministries, the true apostolic church wants to see these people walk in those ministries and validates those people and positively states it in front of the church, so-and-so is called to this ministry and we support them. This is what we're supposed to do, not trying to hinder people and keeping them from walking into the things of God. It doesn't mean that they're going to, when we know that they have been called to that particular ministry, that they're going to walk in it overnight. What I found out is when the Lord anoints you to do something, you know, it's like putting on a pair of shoes. Them shoes are too big for you, but he gives you the opportunity to grow into them shoes. Because he wants us to learn to lean completely on him. It's not by our might. It's not by our power, but it's by the Spirit of God that we are able to do anything. We need to bring back the ministry of affirmation. By us affirming one another, it doesn't take anything from us. It doesn't take anything from me to say to Missionary Shulman, you did an excellent job. I appreciate the work that you did. That was excellent. You know, I thank God for you doing that. If you wouldn't have done that, then I wouldn't have been able to do this. We need to learn how to show appreciation, because that is a positive statement that causes her to understand that the work that she's doing is not in vain. How many times have we done things in church and have felt like we were unappreciated? And that made us not want to do anything ever again in life. So we have to learn to deal with that. Learn to deal with that. Amen. Because this builds people up. And as we just read, a true leader builds the people up with respect and appreciation, doing what Romans 13:7 says, giving honor to whom honor is due. Amen. Chapter 14, ascetic. The apostolic church is ascetic. And what this means is basically that the apostolic church is one that has embraced self-denial, and not just self-denial, okay? If you're dealing with a true apostle, when you're dealing with a true apostle, that apostle is living above the life of the people, okay? The church may be fasting for 10 days. That apostle, because of that mantle on his life, has a mantle on him, and he knows that he has got to get himself to the place of extreme self-denial. He has got to be to the place where if the church is fasting 10 days, then I know I have to be able to pour into them. I need to be fasting 20. I've got to do more than what the church is doing. There is a strict regimen. There is a dedication, a strict dedication that you will see on those who are carrying the apostolic mantle, and it will be in the apostolic church. And you know that you're in the apostolic church, and people come to your church and they say, you know what, it don't take all that. That's how you know you're an apostolic ministry. And I'm not talking about legalism now. I'm talking about being in a place where you know what God has called you to do, and because of that, you have allowed yourself to live a life of self-denial in such a way that you're putting others before yourself. You're concerned about the needs of others, not just your own, but you're concerned about being completely dedicated to God and the things of God. Amen. Sacrifice and generosity will be the marks of the apostolic church. They will thrive in giving bountifully to the poor and the needy, which goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Being concerned about others, having that ministry that is adjudicating that ministry that seeks righteous judgment, that is proactive even in your community if necessary, because you're concerned about the poor and the needy. The poor and the needy are not always in the church. Sometimes we have folks who are poor and needy in the church, but the majority of them, we got to go get them and bring them into the church. Okay, they'll be giving bountifully to the work of the ministry and to the needs of the brethren. Okay, even to the point of self-denial. The apostolic ministry is concerned about meeting the needs of the people before their own. And this is the picture that we have to hold up in front of us, because when God begins to bless, and maybe you have a tape ministry, maybe you have a ministry, people bless you financially, and you begin to do things for the Lord, and God begins to, you know, open up doors for you, then you need to begin to think, don't take all that, whatever God is blessing you with, and pocket everything. You need to remember that if God has blessed you, He has blessed you to be a blessing to others, not for you to line your pockets. Not for you to say that, you know, this is for me. You know, I paid my dues. I've been waiting all my life for this moment. No, God didn't put you in position for that. Can God trust you with what He's giving you? What are you going to do with what God has given you? Okay? Self-denial. Extreme devotion to God and the things of God. And see, nowadays, you know, they would call us fanatics. But I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because you got football fanatics, you got baseball fanatics, soccer fans, and all other kind of sports. They call these people fans. Where are the Jesus fans? Where are the fanatics that are willing to be devoted completely to God, regardless of whatever kind of backlash you're going to receive from those who are looking at you? Let them call you a Bible thumper. Let them call you crazy. Let them say, oh, you done lost your mind. You just religious or whatever. Let them say whatever they want to say. We have to get to a place where we just give up everything for God. Wearing this world loosely. We can't take none of this stuff with us no how when we die. So you might as well be willing to give unto others. And I'm not telling you that you gotta, you know, give up your house and live outside. But there has to be some form of strict regimen on us as the leaders. And if the scripture tells us like people, like priests, then that means that we have to live to a higher standard, so that we can be an example or a model for the people to follow. They realize and understand that the Father is the source and all things belong to Him. And I like the fact that this says that, because God is not your resource. God is your source. But He gives us different resources. And we need to understand the difference between source and resource. Amen. All right. And all things belong to Him, and that He will bring the increase on the seed that we have sown in love. We need to learn how to let go of some stuff. We can't believe God to bless us with anything if our hand is forever closed. You're going to have to open up that hand in order for God to put something in it. That means you got to let go of some things that you do have in order to be a blessing to others, so that God can bless you with something else. Amen. All right. We're almost done. Chapter 15, apprenticing. The apostolic church is apprenticing. Excuse me. I want to give you a little brief historical perspective on what apprentices were. Okay, apprentices were people who were legally bound to serve to a master craftsman or somebody else who was, you know, considered a master, in order that they could learn a trade. And during the medieval period, they called them indentured servants. And I believe during the colonial period as well, they did call them indentured servants, which meant you were bound to that person, legally bound to them, in order that they could teach you and train you and help you to learn the craft that they were master of. Now, apprentices did not just work with another person who was, you know, pretty okay with the kind of work that they were doing. An apprentice worked with the master, the one who had the best skill, the one who was the top dog in their class, okay, concerning the kind of work that they had done. And even so, in the apostolic church and with apostolic ministry, this is the same thing that needs to take place. And we talked about mentoring, and it's along the same lines as mentoring, okay? And this opens the door for the mantle, for mantle exchanges, for the spirit of transference, for impartation, by us being in relationship like this, okay? And so really, when we talk about being an apprentice, we talk about being bound to an instructor for training. It is a father-son relationship, a mentor-mentee relationship, a mother-son, mother-daughter, father-daughter type relationship, okay? And as these relationships are developed, as the apostolic spirit is imparted into the churches, that apostle will begin to be able to pour in wisdom and knowledge and understanding into the lives of, you know, those who they are tutoring and those who they are who are being apprenticed to them. And so we need those kind of relationships in the body, because, you know, one man can't do it all. So we got to be able to pour what God has given us into somebody else in order that this ministry be carried further than us. Okay? So though we've not seen much of this in times past, mentoring will become valued. Pouring oneself into another, as Elijah did Elisha. Apostolic leaders will eagerly impart to those under their care, making ready a people fully equipped, functioning to fulfill. Okay? Fulfill what? Their call, God's purpose, His will, and His desires in the earth. The individual purposes and callings of God, with emphasis on building people, not ministries, not programs. Programs are nice, but that's not the whole idea. Okay? It's about building people. That's what it's about. This will be evident in the believers as well, with the older ones imparting to the younger spiritual insight and even knowledge of business expertise. So there should be some type of successive teaching, training, and impartation. So once you receive, you should be pouring into somebody else. Once God has given you revelation, you should be pouring that revelation into somebody else. And then that person that you have poured into should be able at some point to pour into somebody else. And the ministry goes on. Jesus perpetuated his ministry by imparting into the disciples. The disciples from there went forth into all the world and preached the gospel. This is how we have heard the gospel. Amen? So we have to begin to take what God has given us and pour it into somebody else. Don't be trying to hoard all your revelation and all your knowledge and all your understanding to yourself. Somebody else needs what you have. Okay? And it's important that you share what God has given you and not be selfish. Thank you, Jesus. Chapter 16. The apostolic church will be affluent and abounding. Abundance will be in the apostolic church. 2 Corinthians 8 and 7. Let's look at that real quick. We're almost done. Y'all hanging in there. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 8 and 7. And it says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, not some things, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Okay? And to abound means that you are in great in number or amount, to be fully supplied, to be filled, to be filled, to be covered, to be generous. It is the place of overflow. That's what abound means. And we need to pay special attention to the fact that that word overflow is coming from that word abounding, because we need to understand that when we begin to minister to others, when we do so, that should come from the place of overflow. You minister from the place of overflow. Whatever you have, if you still on E after you finish ministering, then something's wrong. You minister from the wrong place. You should be ministering to others out of your overflow. Okay? Find out what's the difference between what's for you and what's overflow. Okay? The apostolic church will be affluent, meaning it is having an abundance of wealth, property, or other material goods, that it is a prosperous church, not just financially prosperous, but spiritually prosperous. It's a place of impartation. It is a launching pad to the nations and to your destiny. So many of you, whatever church that you're in now, this is just your launching pad. This is your preparation, getting you ready, because affluent also means that it is something that is abounding, to be abounding in anything, to be abounding in spiritual gifts, to be flowing freely. Okay? And there's another word that affluent also means a tributary stream. A tributary is a stream of water that flows into a larger stream or another body of water. So it's not stagnant. So when we're talking about being affluent, we're talking about pouring out into another body. You know, it's a stream of water that flows into another stream. It flows into a larger stream or into a larger body of water. This means it's a place of impartation. You should be able to go to church and receive impartation. And once you receive that impartation, you should be able to go and flow into somebody else's life, pour into somebody else's life what you have received. Okay? Areas where abundance will be seen, to name a few, are hope, faith, love, utterance. We're talking about prophetic words, decrees, diligence, wisdom, judgment, gifts of the Spirit, and finances. Okay? How will abundance be manifested? Through manifold grace, meaning there are different graces. As God extends different graces to us, we will begin to see these things manifested. The apostolic church understands how to activate and walk in this grace and give, and will give excessively and receive excessively. But see, if we're giving grudgingly, then that's how we're going to receive. So we need to learn how to open our hand, open our spiritual hand, and give to somebody else. Open your spiritual hand and pour into somebody else. Share what God has given you. If you want to receive more revelation, then share the revelation that you already have. Begin to take and pour into somebody the things that you have learned over your years being saved. There are people who are hungry for God and desire to be taught, but they need somebody to come and share with them what, you know, the things that they need. Who's going to be willing to share with them? All right? So the Apostolic Church understands that. The Apostolic Church understands that, and we need to be able to understand that. The last thing, chapter 17, the Apostolic Church is ardent. It is a flame, and it is a fire. When we speak about ardent, that means that it's characterized by a warmth of feeling. It's passionate, strong enthusiasm. This speaks of the church's devotion, the church's fervor. It's going to be an on-fire church. It's going to be a church that has intense passion for God. Okay, not no dead dry church. Hello, we're talking about a church that is on fire for God. Amen. A church, amen, that is full of anointing and power and demonstration. An apostolic prophetic church is determined to reach the lost for Christ and will be ablaze or on fire with Holy Ghost fire, with passion, with zeal and enthusiasm, with love and vision. You got to have a vision. And the Bible tells us that where there is no vision, the people perish. You got to have a vision. And let me tell you something. And I just finished sharing this with the saints on Sunday, that you cannot just think about the vision for your church and not think about a vision for yourself. The vision for your church will only carry you so far. You got to have a vision for what God has called you to. And you got to get on fire. You got to be passionate about what God has called you to. You got to be passionate about the vision that God has given you. And if you're not passionate about your vision, don't you expect anybody else to be. You got to have a passion. You got to have a zeal and an enthusiasm about the vision that God has given you. And you got to be devoted to it. You got to be devoted to it. Okay? And you can look at, for reference, you can look at the early church in Acts. Look at Revelations 2. Jesus exhibits apostolic prophetic mantle, walking through the seven churches, bringing correction, setting in order. You know, and commanding them to come back to their first love. We need to see this ministry. We need to see this ministry. And we talked about setting the captives free. This is chapter 18. Releasing the apostolic from prison. Prayer and acceptance of the full release of apostles and apostles. The apostolic spirit in the church. We have got to begin to stop fighting against what God is doing and open ourselves up to what God is doing. Let us not come against the Spirit of God. Let us get on fire for God and pray that the will of God be done in our churches, in our homes, in our lives. This is what our desire should be for God. Let our prayer be, like it says in Hebrews 13, verses 20 through 21, that the God of peace will bring again, that it's going to bring again from the dead, the Lord Jesus, that God would make us perfect in every good work, doing to do his will, working in that which is well-pleasing in his sight. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be speaking this word over ourselves, that God, that same spirit that God is, that he used to raise Jesus from the dead, that same spirit is speaking life to me. That same spirit I'm going to walk in, and I'm going to speak life to everything that I encounter. And I'm going to release the prophetic anointing and the apostolic anointing in my church, on my job. I don't care if I'm in a grocery store, wherever I am. That I can walk in the fullness and the manifestation of the things that God has called me to do. And not just me by myself, but my brothers and my sisters in Christ. My brother who sits next to me in service on Sundays and Wednesdays and Fridays. And my sister who sits next to me. That we would walk together in the things of God, fulfilling the plans, the purposes, and the desire of God. Bringing for real, the kingdom of God and the manifestation of the kingdom of God to the earth realm. in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray right now, God, and we thank you for your word tonight. I pray, God, that your people's hearts have been encouraged, Lord God, and charged in the name of Jesus. Lord God, that they will walk, oh God, in the things that they have heard tonight. Lord, cause them to be encouraged and strengthened in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray now, God, that this church will be set on fire. God, that you would, Lord, cause us to be zealous for good works. Cause us to be devoted to you. Cause us, Lord God, to lay aside every weight and every sin that does so easily beset us, so that we can run with patience the race that is set before us. In the name of Jesus, God, we just give you praise and honor. We thank you, Lord God, that not one word will fall to the ground, but that everything that we have heard tonight, God, we will retain it in the name of Jesus, and we will preserve your truth, Lord God, and impart it into the lives of others. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we praise you. Amen and